Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
US-style class action suits where groups of consumers can sue companies who cause mass harm will be possible in Ireland from 2023. The government is today launching a public consultation on how best to implement the EU directive. At present, there is no mechanism under Irish law for collective redress to be brought on behalf of customers. Well, Robert Troy, Minister of State for the Department of Trade, Promotion, Digital and Community Company Regulation, is in our Dáil studio and he joins us now on the line. Minister, thank you very much for joining us this evening. So people will be familiar with high-profile cases, class action suits that may have been taken in the US, for example, such as the Roundup cases or the Purdue opioid cases. Do you see it working in the same way here?
Good evening, Sarah, and thanks for having me on this evening. Well, firstly, I suppose to outline what the directive is about, and it's important to clarify that it's not a US-style class action. A class action system is where a claimant comes forward to be a lead where a wrong has been perpetrated by a business. What this directive is about enabling a not-for-profit organisation to come forward as a qualified entity to launch a representative action on behalf of a group of consumers and seek injunction relief or redress measures or both on behalf of the consumers from a trader who has breached EU consumer law.
OK, so it has to be done through a not-for-profit organisation then?
It has to be done for a not-for-profit organisation, a qualified entity. And part of the consultation process is about advocacy groups coming forward and putting themselves forward who may be deemed as a qualified entity once the directive is in law.
OK, so just as an example then, if this law was in place right now, could survivors of the mother and baby homes take a class action against the state or whoever they might choose to through if they had a qualified NGO representing them?
No, this is about taking a representative action against a trader, not the state. So it would be an advocacy group that perhaps there was an issue with a particular company who carried out an illegal practice or an infringement of some sort. They could come together collectively and take action against that company. But it's not about taking action against the state.
And why not?
Because this is about EU consumer law. It's about bringing about a consistent approach to EU consumer law across the EU member states. And that's what this is about.
So what sort of cases would you perceive or would you assume could be taken then? Can you give me an example of something that you would expect to be taken under this?
Well, it's very hard to determine exactly what's going to be the outcome because this is very much the start of a process. The consultation process went live today. It's open till the 7th of May and we're seeking submissions from key stakeholders, not-for-profit industry, consumers, etc. So, you know, it's going to evolve over the lifetime of the process. But for example, to answer your question, if, for instance, a company who made parts such as plastic hips, for instance, and they were deemed to be disaffective or some way negligible, and a mass number of people were affected, well, then a patient's advocacy group could come together and take a representative action against that company.
OK, and would it reduce the cost then of those people as individuals if they were able to do that as a group?
Well, what this is about ensuring that a group can come together. There's security in numbers and it's about a not-for-profit organisation representing them. But ultimately, there will be costs associated with it.
Sure, but would the anticipation be that there would be less cost associated with it than if you were to do it as an individual?
Well, that remains to be seen, to be honest, Sarah. As I said, this is only the commencement of a consultation process. The consultation process is going to go through and evolve over the period of the next number of months. And that's one of the things that I suppose that will be explored further in the context of that.
How long will the public consultation go on for?
It's open to submissions up until the 7th of May 2021. We're asking people to make submissions electronically and there's a pre-formatted submissions available on the department's website currently.
And will there be anything to stop frivolous cases being taken?
Yes, in the context that the loser pays principle applies. So it's very much to ensure that people are coming forward with a legitimate claim. It's very much about the qualified entity ensuring that they're representing a group of consumers who have legitimately a grievance. And so thereby protecting the rights of consumers to access redress, but at the same time protecting traders against frivolous claims. So it's a balancing act, really.
All right, Minister, before we let you go, I want to ask you about the pressure that's mounting on Tháinig Síochána of Raghcur after it emerged that the Gardaí have launched a formal investigation into his leaking of a confidential document to a friend. Sinn Féin's David Cullinan has said the Tháinig Síochána needs to be sacked by the Taoiseach. Is he right?
No, I don't believe so. I think what we have now is a process ongoing, and I think it's only right and proper that the tarnished, the same as anybody who would be in a similar position, would be afforded due process. The Gardaí are carrying out an investigation. I think we should allow the Gardaí carry out that investigation and await to see what the outcome of that investigation is.
Do you have any concerns about it?
No, quite frankly. I think what the tarnished came out when this became public knowledge before Christmas. He acknowledged what he did was wrong. He came into before the Dáil. He answered questions. He apologised for what he did. But the reason and the rationale behind it was because he wanted to get a deal over the line. He wanted the common good, so to speak. He contends, and his legal people contend, that he broke no laws. He himself has said he is available to help the Gardaí with their inquiries, and I anticipate that's what he will do.
Yeah, but the guards have launched a formal criminal investigation into the Deputy Prime Minister of the country, and you have no concerns about it?
What I said is we have to enable this process, due process, and we want to see the tarnished to afford a due process like any citizen of the state would be afforded. And I think that's the right and a proper, appropriate way to deal with this.
Okay, just finally on this, we were speaking to Martin Kenny from Sinn Féin earlier today on the show, and he made the point that two Fianna Fáil ministers have either been sacked or resigned in this government, and Leo Varadkar is still there. If we take the case of Derek Leary, you know, forced to resign for attending a golf dinner a couple of months ago, and then you have the Deputy Prime Minister, when Taoiseach leaking a confidential document to a friend and now being investigated by the Gardaí, not forced to resign. Is it one law for Fianna Fáil and one law for Fine Gael?
Well, I think what you have to remember is nobody thinks what the tarnished did was right, himself included. What he said, he did. What he said and admits what he did was wrong. And would he do it again?
So did Derek Leary. Derek Leary apologised and admitted what he did was wrong. What's the difference?
Minister Killeary took the honourable course at the time, and he decided to resign the following morning. The tarnished has said that he is making himself available to assist the Gardaí in their investigation. I think, like any citizen of the state, he's entitled to due process. I think we should afford him due process. It's anticipated that this investigation will conclude within a matter of months. And I think, as I said, any citizen of the state is entitled to due process.
Robert Troy, Minister of State, thank you very much for joining us this evening.